Hello, nerds. This is Jesse from Rock Sugar, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network. Keep it right here.
Moon.
Moo.
Moo-na. Two syllables, cow. Two. Moo-na.
Moo.
Man, these cows are dumb.
Me, 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 me. Ugh, that doesn't work. All right. Hello and welcome to episode 63. Hey, look at us, folks. We're at episode 63 already. It's been 3 years or more or whatever, but we're here. And this is the podcast organization without a cool acronym. The little A is silent. Brought to you by the GeekCast Radio Network. I'm, of course, TFG and Mike. Joining me, as always, in this journey into Phineas and Ferb is Pecan Court Michael. Hello, sir.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going. Oh, boy. Our first two episodes back were rough. Hopefully people enjoyed the raw audio. Raw and heavily uncut edited. Around here at the GeekCast Radio Network. Heavily, quote-unquote, edited.
Uh-huh.
This part has been edited. Ha ha ha. You'll never know what was actually here. Anyway.
Moving right along.
Yes, moving right along. This is the 63rd day of summer, and this means it is the day that the GCRN finally gets back to Pauka. For 2020, because everybody needs some fun in their lives. We got, we got Rock Sugar coming back with the... it's only because we started this podcast 3 years ago, I now realize that Rock Sugar owes a bunch of royalty rights to Dr. Doofenshmirtz, because they had the Reimaginator, and now...
Reinator.
And now they're going to have the Reinventinator. So, yes, Rock Sugar, for those that don't know, Jess Harnell, the voice of Wacko Warner from Animaniacs, the classic Animaniacs and the new...
And the new one, yeah.
Less said about that, the better.
I haven't watched it.
Oh. Yeah. I won't spoil it for you. I'll say is there's not enough variety of character.
I see.
It's all of the all 13 episodes are the Warners and Pinky and the Brain. And while I love those five characters, the original show had at least 10 to 20 other characters that it relied on.
Yeah, less variety.
Yeah.
There's no variety in your variety show.
That's right.
As much as I love, Rob Paulsen and Jess Harnell and Tress MacNeille, maybe they can't carry the whole show, but they're going to try.
I guess. So tonight we have two. Actually, we have one episode, not two. It's only the third episode back, folks. Leave me alone.
Greasing those wheels.
Somebody's got to grease that monkey who needs a shower.
That's why the monkey needs the shower.
Exactly. I mean, it's not like we have a robot dog or anything. Tonight we've got The Belly of the Beast and Moon Farm.
Woo.
Yes, and we are doing this completely the way we used to, which is what I actually remembered to do instead of doing it the way we did it in episode 61 and 62. We are not combining everything. We're going to talk about one cartoon, and then we're going to talk about the other one.
Rapture! This is my favorite part of the Danville Harbor Days Festival, the annual shark reenactment. Let's checketh it out.
Checketh it out? Really?
I stand by my old English.
So the plot for The Belly of the Beast for Harbor Days Festival, Phineas and Ferb celebrate by creating a mechanical version of the historical elusive shark of Danville Harbor. It still looks fake. Still looks fake. Seeing what the boys are up to, Candace enlists some help to capture the mysterious shark. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz invents the saltwater taffyinator to give cavities to every kid in the tri-state area.
So evil.
It's so evil!
So
out of,
evil.
Out of all the evilnesses that he could do, the stickiness is the stickiest of all the evilnesses. or whatever. I don't know.
The most underrated of all the Nesses.
Yes.
Stickiness is the most underrated of all the Nesses.
I heard Isabella talking about stickiness and how it's the most under... whatever. Anyway.
Yeah.
What did you think of the plot of Belly of the Beast?
I liked it. You know, you think sharks, and your mind immediately goes to, like, Shark Week, and Jaws,
yep.
And, what else are they, Moby Dick, you know, this is very heavily Moby Dick themed, even though that was a whale.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Shark Tank, I guess you could say. I mean.
No, not really.
I don't know, those people are kind of crude and rude.
But they don't speak in Old English. So
that's true.
It's not the same.
That is very, very true. I like the plot. I thought it was interesting. I like Candace trying to put on a fake pirate accent.
Oh, she went full on pirate.
Yeah. You know, you got to do that every now and then. At least she did it better than Johnny Depp ever could. Oops, sorry.
Ooh.
By the time this episode comes out, that will not be a timely joke at all.
Well.
Dated!
I like pirates that aren't beaten by their wives.
Oh, crap.
That was terrible. Yeah, just edit that right out. Okay.
No. It's
moving right along.
You gotta stop creating work for me on this show, damn it. Moving right along.
You're making it harder for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You're the one that told the bad joke.
Aye, aye, aye.
Mm-hmm. So, moving right along. I'm trying to see. It's basically just the normal cast in this cartoon. There's no specific special guest stars.
There's Captain Squint, but yeah. I didn't recognize that name, so I'm not sure who that. I don't think it was anybody, special, quote unquote.
Yeah, he was voiced by Nick Frost, but it was credited as additional voices. Nick Frost, British actor, best known for his work in the so-called Cornetto trilogy. Including Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz. Oh, he's somebody in Hot Fuzz.
Oh my God, it's Nick Frost! You gotta be kidding me.
Yeah.
Okay, no, he's famous.
Okay.
Yeah. I know who that is now. Jeez, it didn't occur to me that was him.
There you go.
Nobody quote unquote special in the U.S. Maybe.
Well, we are a U.S.-based podcasting network, so.
Yeah. That's funny.
Anyway, what I liked about this one, Candace's determination, I guess.
Sure.
And their determination, and the boys' determination to just have fun with it.
It wasn't just determination, though. It was all in the hat.
That's true.
Yeah, it was kind of like Frosty the Snowman.
Yeah, exactly.
Must have been some magic in that pirate hat she found.
That one day.
That one. That's right. Well, she goes full on Wrath of Khan
in
Star Trek 2, you know? She says, "From hell's dark heart, I stab at thee."
Yes. That's right.
I know that's Moby Dick, but it's quoted from the James T. Kirk's personal copy.
Yes. It's a shame that Ricardo Montalban was on the other Disney Channel cartoon.
It's Rich Corinthian Leather.
Yes. It's a shame that Senor Senior Senior was in Kim Possible, not on Phineas and Ferb.
I didn't know he was on that.
Yep.
The last thing I saw him in was Spy Kids. He was the grandpa.
Yep, that's right.
Yeah.
But I remember when, because Kim Possible was like Disney Channel 2001, 2002. It's almost 20 years old now. But I remember when they introduced Senor Senior Senior, and I'm like, wait a minute, I know that voice. And the reason why I knew that voice is because I remembered him as the villain in the first Naked Gun movie.
Oh, you're kidding.
Yep.
That's going way back. Yeah,
the 90s.
That? No, earlier than that. Naked Gun?
Naked Gun? Wasn't that okay, maybe late 80s.
Yeah, late 80s.
Late 80s. Anyway.
I was going to say, even before that, I mean, early 80s. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Moving right along. We're getting way down that rabbit hole now. But
Yes, we are.
Yeah. I'm sorry I brought up Wrath of Khan. I thought it was clever.
Hey, you bring up
a lot of stuff.
The Star Trek movie everybody, honestly, except me, really loves.
Yeah,
it was Star okay.
It's kind of like, you know, the second Star Wars movie is everybody's favorite.
I was right.
Yeah.
Naked Gun from the Files of Police Squad, 1988.
Oh, late 80s. Told
yeah.
you.
Yeah. See, yeah. I told you it was the late 80s. I knew what I was talking about. Because 33 and a third came out in 93, I think. No, 94. Yeah, 94.
All right.
88, 91, and 94 for those three movies. Anyway, back to Phineas and Ferb. Where the hell was I going with this? I don't even know.
I don't know, man.
What did you like about this one?
There was a few things that I pointed out, but I like the Moby Dick theme.
Yep.
The first line of Moby Dick, call me Ishmael.
Yep.
That was the first thing I thought here is I'm not sure what this guy's name is, but it must be Ishmael. It turns out his name is Captain Squint.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, okay, well, that's close enough to Quint to be a Star Wars reference. I'm sorry, a Jaws reference.
Yep.
I got Star Wars on the brain now. We got to go back and watch the Star Wars episode.
No, that's coming up.
Yeah.
Way down the line in season 4, but it's coming.
Way down the line. I think every time Richard O'Brien gets lines in the show, I enjoy it. Because he steals every scene that he speaks. You know, anytime he opens his mouth, it's a good scene. And he's like, checketh it out.
Yeah.
And the wife says, checketh it out, really?
I stand by my old English.
I stand by my old English.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe that might not be for everybody, but I laughed.
No, so did I. Old English is awesome.
I knoweth what we're going to doeth today. But he didn't say I stand by my old English, which would have been hilarious, because this could have been a running joke.
That's true. Because
they do love their running jokes.
I love Stacy after the captain gets eaten by the shark. We're going to need a bigger captain.
We're going to need a bigger captain. Jaws reference.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that wasn't the only Jaws reference.
Oh, no, there's plenty.
Later on they say we're going to need a bigger shark.
Yep.
And really, there should be more Jaws references here, but that'll do, I suppose.
I just wish that Doofenshmirtz at some point would have come up and seen the shark. I know that's not his part of the whole episode because he's underwater.
Yeah.
But, like, that shark looks fake.
The shark.
That's what this episode needed for me, was a Back to the Future reference. We had all this Moby Dick and dicking around with Star Trek and everything else, you know, and Pirates of the Caribbean and all that. But I'm like, you got a shark. How can it not look fake?
That one's a little metal-y. He's totally metal.
Yep. The evil jingle this time. Doofenshmirtz on a crab boat. Doofenshmirtz on a crab boat.
On a crab boat. It's like the missed opportunity here was they didn't call it a boat.
Yeah, I thought, like, I know at some point, I don't know if we've already covered it because it's been 3 years. And I'm never not going to continue to reference
We covered it, yeah.
I know we covered the boat, but did we cover the point where he finally realizes it's called a boat and not a boat?
I thought it was that episode.
It's been
the buoyancy-operated aquatic transport.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So, you know, but he's on a crab boat. And I'm not sure why he needed to catch crabs when he has a saltwater taffy-nator.
Yeah, I don't know why it had to be a crab boat. That makes no sense.
Yeah, it could have been any boat.
True.
It's kind of weird. Very true. It's just strange.
Anything you didn't like about this one?
Really, I think he could have done something with crabs rather than taffy, because I thought the taffy was kind of dumb. Mm. You know, he starts off with crabs, and I'm like, oh, this is going to be cool. And Perry's in, like, a silo full of crabs, and I'm like, he's going to get eaten. This is going to be epic, you know? And, but no, it's taffy. I mean, and the taffy eats the shark at the end. Spoilers. But, it could have been better.
The show is on Disney Plus, folks. If you haven't seen it by now, in the 13 years.
If you're listening to the show, I'm assuming you've already seen it.
Exactly. That's how I approach this. So, because right. why else would they be listening to me? Me, I said. They can listen to you all they want, because you actually are funny. Me, I'm on the other hand, I'm just here. Well, I just do all the work.
The other problem with the taffy, exactly, you do all the work. I just talk. Wouldn't this scheme involve giving taffy away for free?
You'd think.
Yeah, I mean, that seems pretty charitable to me. It doesn't sound evil at all. It's kind of like Halloween almost. Just here, have all the free candy you want. And it's not really his fault if kids don't brush their teeth. Mm, you know, so true. I mean, if anybody's evil, it's their parents. You know, if they're not cracking down on their kids and making them brush their teeth. If your teeth rot out, that's not Doofenshmirtz's problem.
Actually, it is if his daughter's teeth rot out, because he's being a bad parent.
Oh, back to the parenting. Yeah. You know what's funny? The outhouse gets a lot of scenes during the song.
Yes, it does.
That's what stuck out most in my mind about the song. You know? I mean, it's a little catchy, but I think the sailors need better bladder control.
Yeah, they kind of do.
Yeah, I don't know. I suppose that's probably the only appropriate way to say we pissed ourselves on children's.
Yeah, that's the other thing. Like, the difference between trying to be funny and what's going to make you laugh. You as in the actual producers of the stuff versus what's going to be available and...
what's allowable.
Proper, yeah. Well, yeah, not available, allowable on children's television. But right. They still put a lot of stuff in this show.
They get a lot passed, but,
Yeah.
Sharks are scary. And yeah, if you saw one in the water, you probably would piss yourself. But... but they make explicit reference to it during the song at least twice.
Yeah.
It's like, it didn't occur to me that there'd be outhouses on boats.
That's a little weird. Usually
it was weird.
There's at least one little galley bathroom down below.
I think you just go over the side, you know? That's the part of Pirates of the Caribbean they don't show you.
Okay, well then. I just always assume Captain Jack is flinging poo at the shark, so...
that shark was a jerk. He deserved it.
Fake-ass motherfucker.
Take this.
Yeah, take that. That shark won't be back for good.
He's not coming back now.
That is a really, really, like, bad 90s musical reference.
All right. Are we talking rankings now, or what do you think?
No. We'll do... Well, yeah, sure. Why the hell not?
Yeah, why not?
Why not? What did you rate Billy and the Beast?
I gave it 4 out of 5, because I like the shark theme.
Huh.
And yeah. Quoting Wrath of Khan.
Wrath of Khan.
It's Moby Dick.
Right. Yeah.
I don't want anyone to know that they think I'm like, not well read, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it 3.5. It's another Candace episode. While it was a good Candace episode, it wasn't as good as... So far in season 3, Run Candace Run is my favorite Candace episode.
Yeah.
And not even this could beat that.
Do you not like the, the number of Candace episodes that are appearing? Or
I don't know. It's just, I find that they're... some of them focused way too much on her. And honestly, the doof plot here is just lame. It's not even stupid. It's not dumb. It's just, like, if he wanted to try to use the taffy to encase the tri-state area, somehow seal it in the taffy, like, have a big dome of taffy. I don't know. Just something better than a bad parenting trope.
I just don't think taffy is made out of salt water.
No,
there's like sugar and stuff in it, I think. It just doesn't, you just can't weave it out of water. I don't think it works that way.
I don't think it works that way either. And yeah. I'll probably find out before the end of this episode of the podcast. But
more about taffy.
Yeah, more about taffy later. Yeah, exactly. So we're going to take a quick break, come back, and head to the moon farm after this. Pixels in the Animation is the GeekCast Radio Network's video game cartoon review show. We are covering every episode of 9 different video game cartoons. Join TV's Mr. Neil and myself, TFG and Mike, as we trek through multiple Mario tunes, Zelda, Captain N, Mega Man, Sonic, and we are also driving through Donkey Kong Country. Pixels in the Animation is 100 episodes of video game cartoon goodness, so tune in to help us find the Pixels in the Animation, which you can find every Wednesday on iTunes and www.geekcastradio.com.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk.
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing. Car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
If only Skype wasn't using my microphone, I could have just hit my microphone button on Google. How is taffy made? Of course, now that I'm saying taffy, I'm going to see some sort of candy confectionery sugar ad on Facebook.
Nice.
Yeah. Because, Mark Zuckerberg stalks the world.
Well, it's funny. I was just like talking to Chrissy about something and it popped up on my Facebook feed.
Uh-huh. That's the way it is. Like, Karen and I could be talking about garbage disposals or dishwashers. Next thing you know, come buy some Cascade drops for your dishwasher or something.
It's like Alexa is listening. Oh, she who will not be named. We can't say her name because she'll be like, yeah. Like, nothing. I wasn't talking to you. She who will not be named is listening. If you mention it in the earshot of her, it'll show up on your Facebook feed.
Yep. So, saltwater taffy is a variety of soft taffy originally produced and marketed.
Oh my god, he's looking it up.
Well, of course I'm looking it up, but modern commercial taffy is made primarily from corn syrup, glycerin, and butter.
Gross.
So yeah, Doof should not have been able to. Yeah.
It was like, it just kind of came out of the spindles, and I'm like, I don't think that's how that works.
And this is silly. The pulling process, which makes the candy lighter and chewier, consists of stretching out the mixture, which he did, folding it over and over and over, and stretching it out again, which he did. Although
it's like
called
a machine that does that. It looks like that.
Yeah.
Smaller version.
Right? Yeah. Although it's called, quote, saltwater taffy, it does not include any seawater, but does contain both salt and water in its manufacturing. The local Philadelphia dialect, the term quote unquote taffy without salt water refers to a lollipop. That makes no damn sense.
A lollipop taffy?
No, it just refers to it like just the term taffy refers to a lollipop. It makes no sense. Anyway.
Like taffeta.
I just okay, Wreck-It Ralph.
Exactly. It's like taffeta, you know.
Yeah. All right.
Yes.
Hey, Hey, Candace, what are you doing out here?
Hey, Stacy. I've got a lot that I want to do today, so I figured I'd bust Phineas and Ferb early. You know, just to get it off my plate.
How long have you been out here?
Since last night.
Yeah, well, who are those guys?
I don't know. Who are you guys?
I thought you were waiting in line for concert tickets.
This is my backyard!
There's always some kind of concert going on back here. I just thought...
Get out of my yard!
Not a morning person.
So what's this big thing you wanted to do?
Well, remember when Jeremy made that romantic dinner for me?
Candace, he microwaved you a pizza.
Yeah, a pizza for two.
Yes.
So I want to reciprocate and make him a romantic dinner.
Are you sure? Candace, I don't know a lot about cooking.
Well, neither do I, but I figure we'll use what you know and what I know, and between the two of us, we can figure it out, right?
Why not? Now, where's the cooking room?
It's in the kitchen. That's where we keep all those cooking tools.
Now it is time to visit the Moon Farm. Inspired by the lost verse from the nursery rhyme The Cat and the Fiddle, the boys decide to take some cows to the moon to see if its low gravitational pull actually does produce the best-tasting ice cream ever. Back at home, Candace decides to take advantage of the boys being gone and attempts to make a fancy dinner for Jeremy. But her lack of cooking skills don't add anything to the plate. Meanwhile, Dr. Doofenshmirtz attempts to use his moisture suckinator.
To
turn his neighbor's plants brown so that his plants will be greener by comparison. Man, he's really got to give up this green thumb thing. Like, jeez, Doof, come on.
Some people just aren't meant to raise plants, you know?
Yeah, no. And I'm one of them, and I'm fine not having any at all.
There you go. It's very, what's the opposite of feng shui? That's what that is.
It's Mike Shui is what it is.
Mike Shui. I'm going to change my name to Shui now.
Yeah, it's Mike Schwarbage is what it is.
It's very Batman Beyond.
That's right.
Very Shui.
Yay! I love this episode.
Yeah.
Cows, get on the ship.
I know that cow call is the best.
I want that cow call.
I'm gonna make that my ringtone. Yeah. Someone calls me, my phone goes, cows, get on the ship. I fell off my chair. I was like, oh my god.
I'll send you the audio.
You have the audio, of course.
Of course, how do you think the audio gets in the podcast? Like when I take breaks and do things, it's not just to put commercials. I mean, sometimes I do, but not often. But it's to show. It's so our listeners, our loyal 1.5 to 2 listeners, can hear what we're talking about.
Good times.
Anyway, yes, good times. Moon Farm. I love the plot. I love the way it's. Obviously, we're kind of back to the main structure of the Phineas and Ferb thing that we had been talking about in episode 61 of how, in those first two episodes, they kind of threw the whole thing out the window with being all about Candace, and now we're kind of back to the boys and Candace and all of that, plus Doof and Perry and the battles and the whatever.
Yeah, all the tropes are there.
Yes. The reggae song was hilarious. I blame Baljeet. If this podcast is bad, I blame Baljeet.
I blame Baljeet.
It's in the lyrics, man.
He's gonna take offense to that.
That's right.
This is the best ice cream I've ever had.
Oh, that's right.
Houston, we've got a situation. It's a brand new lunar day sensation. But we don't have Rocky Road.
It's not that we don't like it.
We left the marshmallows at home. I blame Baljeet.
Hey, what do you mean you blame Baljeet?
Well, it was clearly your responsibility.
Where are you getting good information from, disembodied reggae space voice?
Hey, I have a name, you know.
Oh, yeah? What is it?
Well, it's disembodied reggae space voice, but that's just a coincidence. You didn't know that.
Oh, look who is sensitive. Besides, Buford could have brought the marshmallows.
Hey, leave me out of this.
Guys, we have a limited time here. Baljeet, could you please stop arguing with the soundtrack?
He started it.
So the reggae song by Reggae Doofenshmirtz.
Yep.
I like that. Overall, though, I mean, I liked it. I thought it was a little far-fetched to take cows to the moon for ice cream, you know, just taste the ice cream. And it's like, why couldn't it just be the milk? Is, you know, like you could try the milk and see if it's good milk. Or, you know, you want to go a step further, you add some chocolate, and it's really good chocolate milk. But no, they want to take it that extra step and make ice cream, you know, because everyone knows there's no ice on the moon.
That's true, but again, milk comes from cows and all of that, and I don't know.
Why not goats?
Really?
Gross. I know. I really? Felt bad saying that. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I know everyone wants everybody else in the world to be vegan nowadays, but come on.
Is that a thing? Like,
I don't know.
It is. I'm aware. Yeah.
Yeah.
I kid. Who else needs a central access threshold? The CAT door.
Yes, I know.
I've got a CAT door downstairs, but you know, I didn't pay the guy that installed my cat door either. They didn't put a big sign over it, so I thought that was kind of justified.
That's funny.
It needs a big secret cat door sign directly above it, so the cat can get in and out.
Can the cat even read it?
That's a good question. Yeah. Probably not. Yeah, maybe that's why they didn't put it up. I mean, I probably should have paid them. Oh, well.
Ripping off your cat door installers.
Well, you know, that cat door fell off anyway. I mean, the cat's just a big hole in the door now. The cat walks through. He doesn't care. He's cool with it.
True. There you go.
Yeah. Yes. The farm on the moon is inflatable. By the way, I thought that was interesting.
Yeah, that was so cool.
Yeah, they inflate the farm and then inexplicably grow grass on the moon.
It's photosynthesis, dude. I mean, come on.
It'd be too cold for it to grow.
I guess.
It's like Matt Damon. Matt Damon's like, I'm going to have to science the heck out of this.
Yeah, yep.
From The Martian.
Yeah, I know what you're talking about. No? Yeah, okay. Right, of course, cool. I saw it.
Matt Damon grass. Yes, you can do
Matt,
it.
Yes, Matt Damon grass. Grow, Goodwill Hunting, grow.
Grow. Well, then the cows eat it.
Yeah, exactly.
Through their vacuums in their spacesuits.
Well, how are the cows going to breathe on the moon? Like, I mean, come on.
I honestly thought the cows were just going to come out and eat, you know, because, I mean, there's grass. Why not?
Exactly.
But they had spacesuits.
It's cool. I don't know where the hell the spacesuits came from, but...
You know, probably in the spaceship.
Well, yes, but... I imagine it's very difficult to get a cow in and out of a spacesuit, is my point here.
They put their spacesuits on one leg at a time, just like the rest of us.
And on that note, folks, we'll be back after this.
Remember, everyone, the moon's gravity is 83.3% less than Earth's.
So what?
So what? So let's bounce! Whee!
Oh, look! You guys! Please do not drop me! Oh, this is not so bad.
Yeah, give it a second.
Oh! How is it possible you are actually heavier on the moon?
Doofenshmirtz Sable Incorporated!
Okay, so... What else do you have for Moon Farm, sir?
Well, we didn't talk about Candace and Stacy cooking.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, we glossed over that storyline altogether, but, you know, they had a lot to do in the cooking room.
That would be the kitchen?
That's not what Stacy called it.
Yes, well...
I love that because they mix all this stuff together and they're like, cook this for 5 minutes at 9,000 degrees.
I'm like, what conventional home oven? Like, that's restaurant style temperatures. Like,
it's like the center of a star, you know?
Yeah. It's like.
I'm just going to shoot this into the sun and see what happens.
They need to go back to the milkshake bar at Phineas and Ferb's Star to kind of get that to work properly.
Yeah, but the punchline there was, what could go wrong?
True.
And I ended it with a big smile, and I'm like, oh, that's hilarious, because I expected something horrible to happen. But instead, it comes out, it comes out, and it's lamb cobbler. and it's beautiful.
Until it's not.
Until it, I mean, it's like Photoshopped. It's like they took a picture of this beautiful lamb. I don't know if it's cobbler. I mean, I think of cobbler of pie, but this is like this beautiful rack of lamb, and it's a picture of a rack of lamb in this in this pan that they've got. And it's pretty amazing. But the fact that it ends up getting ruined in the end kind of made, you know, I really wanted her to give that to Jeremy because I thought that would be a nice thing, and then it gets destroyed.
We need to kind of talk about Jeremy because I know they'll say, and they said, what was it in Football X7 or Hockey Z9 or whatever the hell it was, when they did the whole, when Ferb did the whole goal, you know, curse thing, that Jeremy's an Anglophile, which he likes British things, but in here they said something about a British background or something, and I'm like, doesn't have a British background, he just likes British stuff. A huge difference.
I mean, we don't know where his family's from. I mean, maybe they're from Britain. I don't know.
Have you not heard the Johnson family reunion from from the other episode we reviewed? None of them sound British to me.
they do not. No.
Yeah, no.
That's right. His mom doesn't like her at all.
I got something right there.
Jeremy. the arms, the all-encompassing arm.
Right there.
Yeah. That's right. Round is a shape.
Yes.
You know what I was bothered by is that, you know, you have cows flying, you know, away in a rocket ship by themselves. Not once did they jump over the moon. Like a missed opportunity here.
I mean, they kind of... Well, they didn't jump over it, but
they kind of did
because... Okay, so once the rocket ship lands, Phineas and Ferb and everybody disembarks, the cows come out, and they're bouncing. And they're bouncing over the moon and over the farm and over the thing because the lower gravity and all that and everything else.
88.8%
So they kind of did quote-unquote jump over the moon. It was more of a bounce, though.
All right, I'll give you that. That's a stretch, but, you know, I'll give it to you.
Oh, no, trust me, I know it's a stretch. I'm just saying. I don't, like, unless, like, Doof was trying to do something with cows, I don't think we would have seen cows flying, you know, jump flying, or however you want to say it, you know, over the moon kind of thing. I mean, unless Doof was chasing them in this giant robot going after Huge Hands Hans or something.
That's right.
I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah. And I liked Pruny the Dehydropus.
Yeah.
That was clever. Yeah, exactly. I'm so parched.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like, that went on way too long. He's just back and forth with them smacking.
Yep.
Yeah.
Reminded me of the, when he had the Aginator, when he was aging the cheese, and he hit him, and he shot it at Perry, and Perry had an Aginator-proof suit, and Doof didn't, and Doof turned into an old man. Okay, Perry the Platypus, it's 4:30. I'm going to go take a nap now.
I'm going to bed. It's 4:30. Yes.
4:30.
Ow. Don't get shot with a demoisturizerinator.
Oh, Lord. Again, the one part of the Doof plot that I... Like, what? Some of his... some of his obsessions are just weird.
Yeah.
This is two episodes now. The Johnson... Ken Jeremy. Jeremandus.
Germandia. Yeah.
Yeah. So, in that episode, he says, as they're doing the house tour, oh, the furniture is, you know, plastic or whatever it is, he says. And Annabelle's like, oh, it's so, you know, impermanent. We could change it anytime we want, whatever else. So there's plastic in that episode. His neighbor has all this plastic because apparently the neighbor is a plastaholic or something. I don't know what you call people who are fans of plastic. No clue.
Old?
Oh, okay, there is that. But, like, a name, okay, a term. Like, oh, God.
Okay, boomer. You can take the plastic off your couch now. The 60s called. They want their plastic back.
Jesus. You got anything else?
I used to go to my grandma's house when I was really little for, like, Christmas, and it was the thing that always stuck with me is there was plastic on all the furniture.
Oh, of course.
Like, what the heck? This is the least comfortable thing
that way
ever.
When you spill your soda, it bounces.
Yeah, because it's got... Plastic has 88.8% of the gravity of the regular furniture, so, you know. Something I read in the wiki, I didn't realize at first, which it struck me as funny, is that Isabella doesn't speak.
Yep, she doesn't speak at all.
There is no what you doing.
Nope, no what you doing.
No what you doing. I assume that Allison Stoner was on vacation that week.
Possibly. I don't know.
Maybe. I mean, you know, she didn't speak. I think I would have been a little upset if I were her and I found out that there was a script with my character in it where I didn't actually speak.
Yeah, that is a little weird that it... She not... Well, she doesn't have the what you doing line, but doesn't she talk at all?
According to the wiki, she doesn't speak at all in this one.
Huh, weird.
I thought it was weird, too.
That's a little strange. All right, what are you going to...
When are we going to rate it?
Yeah, what are you going to rate Moon Farm?
31. Is that how many flavors are on ice cream?
Bad joke.
31 flavors on the moon.
Yeah.
Two syllables. Moon.
Moo.
Moon. Not moo. Moon. Yeah. I'll give this one a 3 out of 5 because there was some missed opportunities here.
Yeah, there kind of was. I like the song too much. I'm gonna give it a 4.
It was a good song. It was cute.
I like it mainly because, you know, Baljeet tries to argue with the disembodied reggae space voice.
That fourth wall.
Yes, exactly.
This is smashing that fourth wall.
That's right. Baljeet is the Hindi version of Ferris Bueller.
Ferris Bueller.
Because Ferris always broke the fourth wall. He talked to the audience all the time.
Oh, okay, I get it.
What are you doing? Go home. It's over.
It's over. You could have gone with Deadpool. Deadpool's very wally. Yeah,
oh, God,
and probably more popular with the kids nowadays. Yeah,
Deadpool. All
right, it doesn't have to be all 80s references, right?
Well, for me it does sometimes. Anyway, at least from what's popping into my head, I know this is probably never going to happen. I'm going to actually tweet it after the show, but I'm going to tweet at Bat in the Sun. We need a Ferris Bueller versus Deadpool. We need Ryan Reynolds versus
Ferris Bueller.
Matthew Broderick.
Yes. Ferris Bueller never actually fought anybody, though. He was just suave, you know. Like,
okay, fine. I won't tweet at Bat in the Sun for a superpower beatdown. How about basically, you know, rap battles of history or something. I don't know. Just something where
that's a good one.
Ferris, where Matthew Broderick and Ryan Reynolds, as their characters, Ferris Bueller and Deadpool, are constantly breaking the fourth wall and they have to one up each other.
All right. Sure. That'd be interesting.
We're going to take a quick break, come back to close the show after this.
Well, I am shocked and dismayed. Well, now you can't be both. You be shocked, I'll be dismayed.
Coming in 2016, Steve Megatron and myself, TF2 and Mike, bring you a brand new TV review show. Welcome to Podcaster Meets World. That's right, We're launching a Boy and Girl Meets World review podcast here on the GCRN. It'll take us 70 episodes of the podcast to review all 158 episodes of Boy Meets World. After that, we will tackle Girl Meets World. You can find Podcaster Meets World on GeekCastRadio.com and iTunes starting late summer, early fall 2016. So come on and walk through the world with us.
I love the thing they call.
Do you like retro cartoons? Then Saturday Morning Rewind is the podcast for you. Join them each month as they talk about classic cartoons and interview legendary voice actors like Jim Cummings.
I am the terror that flaps in the night.
Corey Burton.
Sometimes toys can be so funny.
Rob Paulsen.
Sure, Blaine, but how are we going to find chaps our size?
Nancy Cartwright and many more.
Eat my shorts.
So grab a bowl of Lucky Charms.
They're magically delicious.
Put on your hammer pants. Go to SaturdayMorningRewind.com. And be prepared to feel like a kid again. Once again, that's SaturdayMorningRewind.com. Saturday Morning Rewind was voted best podcast ever by its host, Tim Nidell. So it's gotta be good.
Well, that doesn't seem to be working. Let me try it on something else. This is gonna hurt you more than it's gonna hurt me, Perry the Platypus. Fire! Oh, look at you! You're Pruny the Dehydropus!
We are back here inside the podcast organization without a cool acronym. I am, of course, TFG and Mike, as I've already said in this episode. Joining me, Pecan Corp Michael.
Hey.
And, yeah, this episode went by fast. It's kind of easy doing just one 22-minute... This is why later, when you're going to balk at me when I put 2 to 3 full episodes in a podcast, you're
going to be like, so much.
Oh, so much to watch. I'm like, you don't have to edit. You don't have to record it. You don't have to. You just have to watch the cartoons and take notes. Anyway, it just seems like this is like super long. It's like this episode feels like it's super short.
It does. Yeah, no, this was a nice one because I liked both the episodes. I especially liked the first one, and you know it wasn't as much of a slog as let's say the next episode.
I think we could give the next episode a couple of caveats because there's really nothing to it, but it's interesting how they. Okay, I'll save that for the next episode.
Anything like announce what's going to happen in the next episode because you always talk about what's coming next.
Oh yeah, absolutely. Anything else you want to bring up before we get the heck out of here?
You know, I always thought the inside of a shark would look more stomachy. Wait till you see the cloaca.
Is that where the kraken lives?
That's it's where they fill the kraken. Yeah.
Anyway. Thank you for joining us here on Palco. There are so many ways to get in contact with us, leave feedback for the show. Visit the website geekcastradio.com where you can listen to and comment on all of our episodes. Leave the show's feedback in iTunes. Please do this. We currently only have 2 iTunes reviews. Now, I know I will say that people can listen on Spotify and Spreaker. Spreaker's the service that we use to host our files and whatever else. But if you are someone who uses iTunes or Apple Podcasts or whatever and you're able to leave a review, if you like anything that we're doing in the past 62 episodes, including, you know, the 63rd one here, please leave us a review. If there's things you don't like, I've gotten negative iTunes reviews in the past, so it's not like I'm not used to it at this point. Follow us on Twitter. I am at TFG1Mike. You can follow at Geekcast Radio for all the other network updates. What is your Twitter, sir?
PeconCTMichael.
Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/GeekcastRadioNetwork. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Palka, and wish you'll join us next time when we'll be giving you our thoughts on the next 2 episodes, technically 4 cartoons, but 2 episodes of Phineas and Ferb, which are Phineas's birthday cliporama, parts 1 and 2. Why that needed to be listed as parts 1 and 2 is beyond me. And then we have Ask a Foolish Question and Misperceived Monodream. for now, I am TFG1 Mike with
Michael Wilson.
Thank you for listening. Until next time.
From hell's dark heart, I stab at thee.
We're gonna need a bigger captain.
That better not be a do not disturb sign. Curse you, Patty the Platypus!
Say it again.
Aren't you a little young to be a podcaster?
No, I'm not. Aren't you a little old to be watching this cartoon show?
Yes, I am. It's good to see the nation's senior citizens taking an interest in cartooning.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is.
This is the best ice cream I've ever had.
That's right. Houston, we've got a situation. It's a brand new lunar day sensation. But we don't have Rocky Road.
It's not that we don't like it.
We left the marshmallows at home. I blame Ball Keep.
Hey, I thought we discussed this earlier.
It's in the lyrics, Mom.